In his book, Reunion, The Good News of Jesus for Seekers, Saints, and Sinners, Ruxy Cavey states that the gospel message in three words simply is, Jesus is Lord. And yet from the video we just watched, we are challenged to understand what Lord means, because it could be Jesus is Master or Jesus is God, the God of the Old Testament. And we see in the New Testament things, Jesus is Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, these things. And also a very interesting passage in Jude 1:4, our Master and Lord Jesus Christ. These things occur over 100 times in the New Testament. It starts in the book of Acts, goes all the way through to Revelation, except for four books, the book of Titus and the three letters of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We keep reading these words, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus is Lord. And I submit to you that some of those meanings and some of those places, if not most of those places, we are looking at Jesus is Yahweh. I see this as a meaning in coming out to us from Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3, when the writer says, Jesus is the exact representation of God's being. The exact representation of God's being. To the Hebrew ear, hearing Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Adonai, these are troubling words. Because for a devout, unbelieving Jew, this is blasphemy on the highest level to say Jesus is Lord. And it's worthy of stoning. When we go back and read the stories of what happened to Stephen in Acts when he was stoned to death, and we later in the book of Acts, we see these Jewish leaders in local synagogues rising up against Paul, many times it comes at this point where it is stated by Stephen and others, Jesus is Lord. And so we are challenged with this. In fact, the Apostle Paul, besides what we see here in Hebrews 1, the Apostle Paul lays out this understanding about Jesus being the God, the God of Israel. We find it in Romans 9:5, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Philippians 2:6, Colossians 1:15. Over and over again, this understanding that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is Yahweh Jesus Christ. And given how many times we see this, and then we think too, back in the Gospel of John, how many different places does Jesus say, I and the Father are one? Jesus says, I am one with God. How are we to take that? This is the union, the understanding of who God is, so closely identified with the person of Jesus Christ. It's a challenge. So, in our scripture reading of Hebrews 1 to 3, this letter written to Hebrew Christians, If you go on and read the whole letter all the way through, what we're finding there is that the writer of Hebrews is making the case from start to beginning that Jesus and Yahweh are one. That's the whole point. Because he first, in Hebrews, we see that Jesus is greater than the angels. We see Jesus is greater than Melchizedek. Jesus is the perfect priest. On and on and on it goes. All focused on this reality that Jesus is the exact representation of God in human form. When we know Jesus, we know God. And so we've been trying to understand, if we take this meaning that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Lord Almighty of the Old Testament, what does it mean when we look at and think about the whole Bible, that God is Jesus-like in all ways and forms? That's why we were looking at, for the last five Sundays, we were looking at this description of the Lord giving what is given to Moses, Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to 1,000 generations, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation." When we hear these words talking about Yahweh, does it not also fit so well with the Jesus we know? Yet, not every description of God in the Old Testament looks like Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Let's be honest about that. It isn't always there. And I remember sitting in class 40 years ago with John C. Wenger, who at that time and who is still known today as one of the statesmen, elder statesmen of the Mennonite Church, and a theologian as well of the Mennonite Church. I sat in his class in his introduction to theology, and he's talking about God. And he was talking about all the things that happened in the Old Testament. And he said, and at first it was surprising, he said, "You know, some of the Old Testament is sub-Christian." Sub-Christian. I've been thinking about that for a long time. But it's also interesting to know one of the contemporary Anabaptist theologians of our day, Greg Boyd, has also stated that when we're looking at Jesus Christ, we're looking at the Lord, Yahweh. And when it comes to the Old Testament, that what we are seeing is how much God loves us. For God was willing to be misunderstood so long as he could keep and have a relationship with his people. that sometimes God's people in the Old Testament misunderstood the Yahweh God that they were following. Because if you notice, at times, the God of Yahweh, the Yahweh God, is acting or is claimed to be acting in the way like all the other gods of the people around them as he brings jihad on what are considered the enemies of Israel. And yet Jesus says, we are to love our enemies. And we see in the Exodus 34 passage that Jesus, that God's love, Yahweh's love, is for 1,000 generations. And as Matt noted, when we are talking about the slowness of God's anger, that God doesn't have to be really angry. All he has to do is set back, and God's wrath is watching us stew in our own juices for the mistakes we make that we don't repent of. Saying all of this brings us to a point then. What about our actions? Our actions today, what we think and do, our understanding and faith in Jesus Christ, if we are thinking and recognizing that the God represented in Jesus is the exact representation of God in the Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament, how are we then to have this God at the center of our lives? And already we've had, you know, in the introduction, in the call to worship, Galen did a wonderful job that we follow Jesus daily in our lives. It's to be able to ask ourselves over and over and over again, what would Jesus do in this situation? And do we know Jesus well enough from our reading and studying and trying to understand the scriptures, those gospel accounts of who Jesus was, did, and said? Can we determine what is a Jesus action for this moment? The past week, when we had Bible school, I was helping along with Kathy. We were working at trying to communicate to these young people, some of them who do not go to church anywhere. Many of them don't come to church here, but go to church other places. But when we come to talking about what does it mean to love Jesus, to commit ourselves to Jesus, I submitted to them, and I submit to you, that it's a daily commitment to love Jesus and to do and say and think what Jesus would. And to recognize at times, in my own selfishness, I go astray. And if I don't repent of it, if I don't ask for forgiveness, I can end up stewing in the juices of that wrong thinking. We need to follow Jesus daily. The second part of this, then, in trying to put Jesus at the very center of our lives, means that we need to understand that when we read the Bible, we read it through the words of Jesus. We look back in the Old Testament through the words of Jesus. We need to use the focus, the lens, the understanding of Jesus to look back in the Old Testament. Because we need to have our rock of understanding placed firmly in Jesus. If Jesus is our Lord, our Master, and our God, then when we look back into the Old Testament, do we understand what Jesus would say about those things? And also, in the rest of the New Testament, as we start with Jesus and we look forward, are we understanding the New Testament and spiritual struggles from the orientation of the understanding of Jesus, what he said, what he did, and the way he operated? This is so important for us to be centered in Jesus Christ and recognizing who Jesus was and what Jesus did for us, and to be able to carry that on through from Genesis to Revelation. And if all of this is true, there's one third implication I want to offer to you. And this is it. That if Jesus is Lord, that our first, our highest priority is to follow Jesus. The first, the highest thing we can do is follow Jesus. No matter where the rest of the world is going, is our first loyalty to Jesus. Is our highest priority to be doing what Jesus is doing. If we are focused in, Jesus. We can't call ourselves Christian unless Jesus is at the center of it. Jesus Christ. And if our actions aren't what Jesus would do, we are betraying who we claim to be our Lord and Master. This is the challenge that we face. Is it a true statement of our lives that my life is Christ and nothing else matters? My life is Jesus Christ and nothing else matters. Jesus told the Pharisees that all of the Old Testament scriptures were pointing at him, Jesus, and they had been blinded by all the other stuff that they were focused on in trying to be a good Jew. They were so focused on trying to be a good, perfect Jew that they missed the one that Scripture was trying to portray to them, Jesus Christ. And that's our challenge. We can get lost in a lot of weeds around here. But may we give our all to Jesus. For the Jesus-looking God is raising up Jesus-looking people to be a Jesus-looking kingdom, transforming the world in a Jesus kind of way. Amen.